All righty, inshallah. We're going to go ahead and get started. Bismillah walhamdulillah, as-salatu was-salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. How's everyone doing? Alhamdulillah. Good, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. Tonight's session is going to be a little bit different than the regular Thursday nights. So the regular Thursday nights, obviously, we go through our series that we're going through. The current one we're going through is Surah Al-Hujurat, right? The series is called Cultivating Character. So we're taking away blessings and wisdoms from the surah, trying to improve our character in preparation for the month of Ramadan. And just giving everybody a little context behind why we're switching it up tonight. So, you know, last Friday, after Soul Food, literally, right, the day after Soul Food, we received news of a tragic incident in which one of our beloved community members, Brother Abdul Hadi, who, mashallah, was actually he was a frequent flyer here at Roots, mashallah. He used to constantly be at, you know, the Monday night session with Ustad Abdul Rahman. He used to, you know, come to Sheikh Mikhail's Wednesday halaqas. He used to come here to Soul Food on Thursdays once in a while. And he was just a very big supporter of the work that this campus was trying to do. And in Allah's infinite wisdom, was called back to his creator on Friday. And, you know, after the initial kind of news came out, everybody was trying to kind of process what happened, right? Because things that happen in such a quick and almost surprisingly shocking way, it takes a little bit of a toll on the community, and we don't really understand how to handle and process certain pieces of news like that. And so, you know, I was sitting with Sheikh Al-Nasser just a couple of days ago, literally in the Roots office, and I was talking to him. I said, Sheikh, you know, what can we do? And I know Ustad definitely mentioned it on Monday. I don't know, Sheikh Mikhail, I was talking to Sheikh Mikhail a couple of days ago, and he said that he was going to mention, you know, a little bit about it on Wednesday after his halaqah or during his halaqah last night. But I said, you know, I really do think that moments like this in our community deserve very, very specific attention. Because if it's not handled within the community, where is it handled, right? Everyone's kind of left to their own devices when they're at home. And mashallah, a person who was so beloved to everyone that he met and everyone that encountered his personality, like Hadi, it hit home for a lot of people, right? There was literally, you know, a member of the Roots volunteer team who, when they heard the news on Friday, literally they said, oh, I got to run and go to the masjid. I got to go to IECC where the families are gathering and people are kind of, you know, just offering their condolences. And so it hit home for everybody. And so me and Sheikh were sitting in the office a few days ago, and we said, you know what, let's host a session. And of course, we'll put it under the banner of Soul Food. It's on Thursday night. But we'll open it up to everybody. Specifically, obviously, the demographic here is a little bit younger. But we wanted to give everyone a chance to heal. So this is almost like Sheikh and I discussed. It's almost like a healing session. And I wanted Sheikh Mikhail to be a part of it. And so, inshallah, Sheikh's on his way. He's finishing teaching a class upstairs right now. But I wanted today's session to be a little bit different. It's not going to be lecture style. It's not going to be, you know, where one of our teachers obviously, you know, share a lesson for the entire audience and the audience takes away notes and wisdoms and reflections. This is going to be literally a healing session, giving the community a chance to talk to one another, process their own thoughts, kind of think about what happened, and just come to terms with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed, no matter how difficult it actually is to comprehend, right? And so we're inshallah going to go through some really, really good, you know, thought-provoking prompts and questions that I'm going to share up on the screen behind me, inshallah. And we're going to give the community a chance to speak to one another. Because sometimes, you know, in moments like this, shaitan maximizes on people's loneliness. Shaitan sometimes strikes in a moment of opportunity where people may not be in, you know, conversation with other people, and so they're at their weakest, and so shaitan strikes at the most opportune time. And, you know, as a community and something that Roots has tried to cultivate over the last like 8 to 10 years is that this is your home, right? Ustad Abdulrahman, always on Monday nights, he says, welcome home. What does that mean? Is that just lip service, or do we really mean that? And if we mean welcome home, then we truly have to make this a home for people. And in a home, you have tough conversations. In a home, you have conversations that are not sometimes easy to always have. And so we wanted to kind of set the table, if you will, and allow our community, our family, to come together tonight on Thursday night and discuss the reality of handling tragedy, of maneuvering through challenging trials and loss in our lives. And so inshallah, what I'm going to do is, and when Sheikh gets here, inshallah, we're going to share some thoughts with one another, with you guys, inshallah. But until then, I wanted to, inshallah, get the community speaking to one another about this idea of grief, the idea of loss. What does it mean? So the first question on the screen that you guys see in front of you is, how would you define grief, right? Some of these terminologies, we just kind of like know them, quote unquote, we know them because it's an emotion. Like, how would you define anger? I don't know, but I feel it, right? How do you define happiness? I'm not really sure, but I feel happy sometimes. So when it comes to grief, how do you define the concept of grief? And what is the importance of allowing time for grieving, right? Because in Islam, we don't really just believe that something tragic happens and you close the books and you just continue on. And I'll share a couple of incidents, actually, through our tradition where that's just absolutely not true. There are moments that are authentic in which people in our religion, the Prophet ﷺ namely, had moments where he took time to grieve over the passing of people in his own life. And so it's a healthy process to actually partake in, is the process of grieving. And so what I'm going to do, inshallah, is now I'm going to give everybody about 3 minutes. It's 7:27. I'm going to give everybody 3 minutes to kind of talk to some people around you, right? Discuss what you think grief is and why is it important to allow yourself to grieve in certain situations where it's necessary, right? So I want you guys to, inshallah, talk. I'm going to give you guys 3 minutes and then we're going to get some reflections and thoughts, inshallah, from you guys and share with the larger attendee group that's here tonight, inshallah. So bismillah, go ahead and talk and we'll break in about 3 minutes. All right, inshallah. Let's get some thoughts here from everybody. We'll get about four or five people or three or four people to share, inshallah, what their reflections and their thoughts are in terms of what they think or what they have kind of defined grief as and why they think it's important or why you think it's important for us to go through that process of grieving. Anybody want to share, inshallah? What's your definition of grief and why do you think it's important? Instead of just glossing over it or almost pretending like it didn't happen, what's the wisdom of allowing yourself to go through that process? Yes, Ayan, go ahead. Yeah, very beautiful. He said that his definition of grief was basically the loss of something that you're attached to, right? And the importance of allowing yourself to go through that process is to make sure that you're not a person who bottles up all of the emotions that they have, right? Which can cause like an adverse effect if not taken care of, right? Very, very good. Okay, alhamdulillah. Anybody else want to share what their thought of grief is or their definition of grief is and why is it important to go through that process as a person? Yes. Yeah. Very good. Very, very good, right? So the sister mentioned something very beautiful. She said that you can't really define grief with one emotional definition, right? That there's happiness involved, sadness involved, anger involved, sometimes guilt possibly involved, right? And so there's a lot of different things that kind of make grief what it is. And so she's saying, like, unless you've actually kind of almost gone through it, it's really hard for you to really understand what it is unless you've actually experienced it, right? Very good, mashallah. Very, very good. Anybody else want to share what their definition of grief is or what's the importance of processing it? The next question is going to be really heavy. That's why I'm kind of like allowing everyone to ease through it, inshallah. Anybody else want to take a shot at, you know, what their thought of grief is in and of itself? Okay. The first thing I wanted to share, and I'm going to share this even more when Sheikh gets here as well, is that one of the things that we understand is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not punish a person for going through grief. First and foremost, I think we need to take a cultural stance or like a change of what we culturally define as what sadness and grief is, right? In fact, there's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where specifically the Prophet ﷺ, he says, "Inna Allah la yu'adhibu bi dam'i al-'ayni wala bi huzn al-qalbi." He says that Allah does not punish because of the tears of the eyes or the sadness within the heart, right? The only thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is judging a person for is whether that emotion allows them in their actions to do things that will harm them or other people, right? So the emotion itself is not something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges or punishes off of a person. And so it's important to understand that, you know, culturally, I know we all grew up in different cultures, but there's almost like a similarity across a lot of cultures that we've all experienced where a person who's going through that period for a long time, that person's almost like, hey, when are you going to get over it? Right? Are you ever going to get over it? I mean, this was actually noted in so many different surahs in the Quran, namely in Surah Yusuf, when the father of Yusuf alayhi salam, Ya'qub, was missing his child Yusuf for decade after decade after decade, and his other sons would almost guilt trip him and ask, oh my father, you're never ever going to forget about Yusuf. And this is something that's really interesting, because does a person who is missing somebody, or if they've lost somebody, do they really ever technically quote-unquote get over it? Right? You always think about them. You always think about them. Just the other day, me and Ustadha Fatima, we were sitting, or sorry, me and Ustadha Bidla, we were sitting, and we were discussing a person that he knew very well who had not lost one child but two children in infancy, like 18, 15 months old. How does a person handle that? How does a person, does that person even at age 70 ever get over it? I don't know. And so it's important to understand that as a Muslim, your goal is to never say, oh, just get over it. A'udhu billah. I mean, what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had the same kind of feeling or that same sense of rigidness and harshness towards us as sometimes we have towards other people? Just get over it. Think about a mistake that you ever made in your life. It's something that haunts you every single day. And Allah just tells you, just get over it. And like she said, there's so many emotions involved that it's not as simple as just turning a new leaf and saying, all right, cool, I'm just going to start fresh. I mean, it's always a part of your mind. And so there's an importance to this. There's a grieving period to this. The Prophet ﷺ, when he lost his wife Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he lost his uncle Abu Talib, who never accepted Islam, that year in his life was called Am al-Huzn, the year of sorrow. And when you take a step back and look at that picture, you think to yourself, well, did the Prophet call it Am al-Huzn? Who called it Am al-Huzn? Who called it the year of sorrow? Everyone that was around him. Because they saw his behavior. What happened to him? His wife passed. His uncle passed. It's not a year of sorrow for a person who didn't know Khadija or Abu Talib. It was a year of sorrow for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it was noted that he was visibly upset. So much so that year was characterized as the year of sadness for him. So when you think about that, the Prophet ﷺ did not shy away from showing his emotions. I mean, that's never been a thing in our religion to ever shy away from showing your emotions. Obviously, in a healthy manner. Not in a manner that causes harm to yourself or people around you, but showing emotions is a part of who you are. The Prophet ﷺ used to often attribute tears. People used to ask him whenever he cried, people asked, Ya Rasulullah, ma hadha, what is this? And the Prophet ﷺ, he would say, Hadha rahmatillah. Like this right here is mercy from God. And this goes back to what Ayan was saying, right? If you bottle it up, think about a person, I mean physically, think about a person who's sad, who's grief-stricken, but they may not have the ability to cry. Think about the pressure that is building up, the emotions that are building up in that person. So releasing tears is almost a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you get to witness that. How many of us have cried and it's almost like a weight, at least not permanently, but temporarily has been lifted off of our chest, off of our shoulders, right? So now this next question, this is going to be a heavy hitter. And that's why I actually purposely put, if you would like to. If you would like to share a reflection from a tough loss that you faced in your own life and how it impacted you. By the way, no taklif, like no burden upon anybody. You don't have to share if it's too personal. But I would like for everyone to at least share with the person next to them a little bit about something that was difficult that they maneuvered through, whether it was the loss of a person in their life, whether it was a loss of a certain situation in their life, whatever it was, a reflection from a tough loss that you faced in your life and how that loss impacted you. All the reflections, all the experiences that came along with that loss, share that with the person, inshallah, around you or the people around you, and inshallah, we'll get some people who would like to share. They can share with the greater group after we break off into individual groups, inshallah. Bismillah, go ahead and start talking to each other, and then we'll reconvene in a second. All right, inshallah. Wanted to give everyone a chance to share, because I know this one's going to be a little bit more involved. So wanted to give really, really good adequate time for everyone to be able to share this particular prompt with each other, inshallah. So who wants to start us off, inshallah? This is not easy. So again, what I want everyone to do, actually, really quickly, just take a deep breath. Everyone take a deep breath. Take a deep breath, alhamdulillah. Yeah, and this is going to help, inshallah. Because again, sometimes when we feel the pressure of, you know, like 100 plus people watching you, listening to you, it sometimes gets to you. But when you take a deep breath and you release, you allow that kind of anxiety to at least kind of subside for a little bit of time so that you can at least kind of, you know, as Prophet Musa alayhi salam, right? This is one of Ustada Fatima's favorite du'as that she always says, Rabbi shrahli sadri, right? وَيَسِرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. So, inshallah, Usman, go ahead and start us off, inshallah. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. You know, one of the beautiful reflection, right, that he shared that, you know, even noting, I mean, as difficult as it may seem, and, you know, there's almost like stages and phases to this, right? I mean, we're only barely 1 week removed from the tragic loss of Brother Abdul Hadi, right? 6 days removed. But as time continues to go on, you almost start to discover layer after layer after layer of why things may have happened, right? When you give yourself time, okay? And, I mean, you even think about, for example, like Gaza, right? Starting, I mean, obviously 75, 80 years back, but to more recent history, obviously the incidents of October 7th and forward, it was shocking. And then the recent stuff that's happening in Rafah, right? Shocking. I mean, there's stories of children being abused and harmed in the most gruesome manner whatsoever. So, like, the one of y'all mentioned the idea of time allowing you to almost, like, not heal, but to almost discover, right, why certain things may have taken place. And like he said, you know, on the day of Jummah, we were all shocked to hear the news. But then a few days later, you realize, wow, subhanAllah, our last memory with him was Jummah. How many people can claim that, right? Like, we were in Jummah prayer with this brother. And that was the way that Allah wanted me to leave him. And that is something that you can't really put a price tag on. That's something that's extremely unique and very, very special and blessed. And so, mashallah, and he mentioned as well that it brought a lot of people together, right? It brought a lot of people together who may, you know, when you have that one mutual friend, everyone's friends because of that person. And if that person is no longer there anymore, now you're just kind of like, all right, we hang out because of him. We spend time together because of him or because of her, right? Very, very beautiful, mashallah. All right. I want to get another person to share, inshallah. Who wants to share? Bismillah, go ahead.
Wow.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I mean, yeah, you know, that is probably some advice that is probably really heavy for a lot of us, right? That when you have no one else to rely on after a tough loss like that, because, you know, and it's one of the things, and she mentioned it so wisely, she said that after all this time, there's only going to be one who still remains, right? And it always seems to be the case, right? I mean, subhanAllah, when you think about it, after there's going to be janazat, right? There's going to be funerals. There's going to be azas. There's going to be moments of reflection like this, and, you know, lectures and reminders and gatherings like this. But after it's all said and done, subhanAllah, you know, life does continue on for so many people. But sometimes life does not move on for certain people just like that easily. And so when everybody else is kind of, you know, continued on with their lives and they kind of go through what they're doing, having that foundation of knowing that Allah will always be with you is one of those moments of peace and tranquility that you cannot replace with anything else in your life. At 11:55 p.m. at night, when, like, perhaps friends may be asleep, right? You're missing somebody. I mean, think about even from last week. Friends may be asleep, but everybody, but we're thinking about him. We're thinking about Abdul Hadi. We're thinking about who he was and what impact he had on us. There's nobody else to really talk to. And I turn to Allah and I step onto my prayer rug and I just start praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, thank you so much for allowing me to experience a person like this. Ya Allah, it was always in your wisdom and your plan that you knew that you were going to call him up to you earlier than maybe you would have called us up. But Ya Allah, I turn to you now because there's no one else to turn to right now. So subhanAllah, very, very powerful reflection that she had. Very good. Yes, please. No, please go ahead. Ya Allah. No, please take your time. Ya Allah. SubhanAllah. Ya Allah. That was, yeah. Jazakallah khairan. First and foremost, Jazakallah khairan for sharing that. It's not easy. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heal the hearts of anyone who's lost people in Palestine, in Gaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala end the occupation in Palestine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow the people of Palestine to be victorious in all endeavors, inshallah, and be the beaming lights in the hereafter that we, inshallah, find. Alhamdulillah. Beautiful, mashallah. Subhanallah. That's, yeah, there is nothing that I can say to even kind of back whatever she said up. I mean, this is literally, you're hearing from a person who has gone through just loss after loss after loss in a span of time that just doesn't make sense to go through those losses. And to be able to sit and reflect. And one of the great takeaways that she comes away with is that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will always be there for you, even when nobody else is, whenever you're at a loss of any sort of hope or any sort of, you know, positive, you know, there's no positive outlook in a current situation that you're looking at. Allah is the one that will give you a positive outlook, or Allah will give you some sort of sukoon in a time of grief that you're facing. SubhanAllah, may Allah ta'ala reward you for your bravery. All right, inshallah, let's continue on. Anybody else want to share, inshallah? I know this is heavy, but I think it's important, inshallah. Bismillah, go ahead. Ya Allah, I mean, Allah make it easy, subhanAllah. Yeah, Sammy, you had something you wanted to share. Go ahead. Ya Allah. Shock. Yeah. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Sheikh, we're kind of going through some of the stories from the community about how they personally dealt with tragedy in their life and how they maneuvered through it and how they handled it. And we kind of discussed how our deen puts so much emphasis on allowing ourselves to grieve in a way that obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made natural for us. And so wanted to kind of get your thoughts on this as well. You know, just from, I know you, I was telling the community here that, you know, you shared some thoughts last night after your class. I know Ustaz shared some thoughts on Monday as well. I mean, we were all kind of just contemplating what had happened this past week. And so I wanted to kind of ask you, I mean, this is kind of like the college young demographic community. How did you kind of like process everything? Is there any sort of wisdom? I mean, time obviously is the best kind of teller of, you know, discovering wisdom after wisdom from trials and tribulations. But I wanted to ask you.
I'm not that old, Habibi. I ain't that old, yo. Nah, bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Yeah, last night we had a beautiful session. His father came. His sister was there too. Hadi's brother, father and sister were there. First thing first, I love what you said. What's your name? Sammy? Sammy. You know, he said the phrase, man up, right? And last night, if you were at Halakha, I spoke about this clearly, that the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was a man of men. Courageous, powerful, strong, everything, man. But he cried. And he was actually in a society in which it was aib, right? It was weird. Men don't do that. Which we're back there again, almost, right? And what I said last night is the reason why we're doing this whole footsteps, mm-hmm. in his footsteps, partially, is so that we become closer to him again and his model, right? Regarding this issue of grieving, first thing I think we need to all understand is we all grieve in different ways. When the Prophet ﷺ passed away, how did Umar react? Anger. Denial. How did Abu Bakr react? Very calm, collected. Uthman passed out. Ali couldn't speak. He couldn't speak. He just literally couldn't speak, right? So first and foremost, we all are going to respond differently. I was in shock. I was in denial. I was getting the message from multiple people. I was like, nah, I think, nah. I just kept saying nah, like wrong person. And I was in Cleveland, and I got the message, and I was just like, nah, yo, y'all got the wrong dude. And I just couldn't process. I think we all look, the reason I say we all grieve differently is because some people feel bad. Oh, I can't cry. It's okay. That's fine.
Yep.
Right? Like, there's no need to always cry to be grieved, right? But we do have to allow ourselves, those who feel that pain, to not feel shunned or any type of stigma around emoting and allowing emotion to be shown.
Sheikh, we talk about this sometimes even together. We talk about that. Obviously, the eyes cry, but the heart cries as well, right?
Yeah, that's the hadith, right? In al ayna tadma wal qalb yahzan. So this is beautiful. So this is something we need to learn. There's the expression of emotion, and then there's emotion guiding you and leading you, which we don't like.
Yeah.
So for example, the hadith that we were just talking about, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's son Ibrahim was dying, right? And he was only about like 16 months. He was very young. And the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, we just did this hadith yesterday, he was holding him. And as he's holding him and he's breathing his last breath, the Prophet begins to cry. And Abdurrahman bin Auf, who's very close to him, he said, you too? Like, you? What is this, Ya Rasulullah? And he said, this is mercy. And then he said, the eyes cry, you know. But you know what I wanted to focus on, bro? I think Hadi left a legacy for us, bro. And that's all I'm going to keep talking about when it comes to Hadi, yo.
Yeah.
Hadi, man, subhanAllah, bro. For young people, he left a legacy for us to emulate, bro.
Yeah.
And literally in the halakha last Wednesday, I was like, yo, we don't know if any of us are going to be here next Wednesday. And whenever we hear that, all of us, we're all like, yeah, bro.
Yeah, we think it's like lip service almost to a certain degree, yeah.
Like, I know a lot of us, astaghfirullah, we believe in Allah, we believe in death. But we never really internalize it. We never truly are like, yo, I might not be here. And the reason I say that is like, the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, kafa bil mawti wa'idhan, that death is enough to wake you up. It's enough to get that alone. You don't need a lecture. Death is the lecture. So his legacy, yo, his legacy to me revolves around, and I again, I'm not going to sit here and claim to know him. Like, his sister is here. Astaghfirullah. I feel ashamed speaking. But from what I know about this young man, he was committed to good company. He was always around good people. Or good people around him, something. He was a magnet to good people, or he was attracted to good people. But he was always around good people. Okay. And number two, again, I'm not going to sit here and claim to know him the most. Many of you probably know him way more than me. He was always in good gatherings. And I know they sound like the same, but they're not. See, this is a good gathering. You come, you sit here, you vibe, it's amazing, whatever. But for him, this the heads in this gathering were his peeps outside too. So he rolled up to Jummah on Jummah with his crew. They all prayed. Yo, guys, he died on a Jummah after praying Jummah.
Yeah, we just talked about that, yeah. Incredible.
Goals, man.
SubhanAllah.
Jummah after praying Jummah? Bro.
SubhanAllah.
It's good. So to me, we need to celebrate that. We need to take lesson from that. We need to emulate that. And we need to realize that I don't care how old you are. This is a 21-year-old young man. But he taught us a lot.
SubhanAllah. You know, just to kind of back up what Sheikh was saying, this idea, and we don't have too much time before Salatul Isha comes in, but I wanted to kind of give the last portion of our conversation today to literally reflect over what Sheikh was talking about. The way, you're good. The way that you honor the legacy of a person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reclaimed, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And there are so many different ways our religion gives us ways of honoring people who have passed away, right? That when a person passes away, Imam Ghazali talks about this all the time, that death is not the end of a person's life. It's the journey that a person takes towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's actually merely another portion of your life. That video, Sheikh, that came out about, you know, the girl who lost her leg. We talked about this at Soul Food like a month and a half ago or so. The girl who lost her leg in Gaza, and, you know, and Khalid, right, the older uncle who is now, mashallah, is like the Sheikh of Palestine now, alhamdulillah. And he went over to her and she was crying because she lost her leg, but he said, "Why are you crying? You know, your leg just beat you to Jannah," right? I mean, the heaviness of that statement, right? I mean, now when we kind of put it together and think about people who passed away in our lives, and families are here and friends are here, and, you know, people who have lost many people in their lives possibly, how do we honor their legacy after they're gone? There's so many different ways. I mean, the Prophet ﷺ used to give gifts, you know, that he received to the friends of Khadija bint Khuwaylid, his late wife, right? I mean, that's literally a sunnah. When you have a family member pass away, you take a gift and you give it to their friends because their friends remind you of them. So I wanted to actually get some thoughts, inshallah, Sheikh, you know, from just experience and also just from, you know, studying and knowing about this deen, alhamdulillah, the pleasure we have of being a part of this. What are some takeaways of that you've kind of seen? You know, like, what have you?
So you hit them, but we need to slow and say them again so everyone can get them. Number one, the last one you said, is honoring the friends of the deceased. Mm. So yesterday, there were a few people that came up to me, and I never saw them before, but they're like, "I'm Hadi's best friend." And I'm like, "Yo, you're my best friend now." Right? And I just hug him, like, "Yo, you're my man now." He's like, "Yo, he's like, he used to bring us to the halakha. He used to pull us through, whatever, whatever."
He was the guy.
He was the guy. That's what I'm trying to say.
He was the guy, yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yo, listen, death is real. Death is real. And one thing Gaza taught us is it's real. We're struggling to, like, piece this together. And here we are. It hits so close to home. Death is real. So number one, I think honoring the friends. I think taking the lessons from the life. I think we need to do sadaqah jariyah too, though.
Yes.
Like some tangibles.
Absolutely.
Build something in his name. Absolutely. Donate to something in his name.
Absolutely.
Like do that. But again, like, I'm not trying to sound like a broken record, but, like, there's a deeper lesson we learn from his short but meaningful life. And if all of us in this room say, you know what, this passing is going to be the catalyst for me, then he's the sadaqah jariyah. And everyone you become an inspiration for, teach, learn, whatever, whatever. Allah. Now he's getting the reward for that just because his life embodied something so profound. So I think we need to do some sadaqah jariyah. There's a GoFundMe launch.
Yeah, launch good, yep.
We need to support that so that there's some tangible things that we're doing on his behalf. We need to take this moment and don't let it just pass. Of course, for the family, it takes time. But for others who are a little further away, we need to relish in this moment for a bit. And I'm going to say something because I don't see a lot of faces that I see at my halakha, so I'm going to say something. One of the reasons we don't do tawbah, I'm not changing the subject, this is the subject. One of the reasons, tawbah is to turn back to Allah, right? One of the reasons we don't do tawbah is because we think we have a long life ahead.
Yep.
So how can I do tawbah today when I got like 20 more years of fitna, man?
Yep.
But Imam Ghazali says, no, you don't know if you're promised tomorrow. So do tawbah tonight. If tomorrow comes, I'll deal with tomorrow. I'll do tawbah tomorrow. But right now, you have a sin that you're struggling with. Think in your head, I don't know if I got tomorrow, and do tawbah tonight. Now listen, if you get tomorrow, we'll deal with tomorrow when tomorrow comes. But to do good for one more day and to refrain from evil, you just got one more day to do it. You feel me? Yo, hold up, that's deep, y'all. Yo. It's soul food, yo. We go deep, yo. No, I only have one more day to do righteousness. In your mind, if I say, yo, we got to start praying to Hajj, yo, you like, man, I got 40 more years to Hajj, yo. That ain't no joke. I'm only like 20. Ooh.
Yeah.
La. You just got one more day of to Hajj. You got one more day to avoid that sin. And so we need to use his passing as an inspiration. Don't let it be in vain. Take inspiration from this young man. Be in good company. That was his recipe. Be in good company. Be in good company. Be in good company. I'm sorry to be a broken
record. There was a sister actually who, before you got here, Sheikh, she was actually talking a little bit about how she had lost 10 family members in Gaza. And she literally said that there was nowhere else to turn besides Allah during that time. I mean, who's going to help you at this time, right? I mean, you put your faith in, like, the American government, Joe Biden. I mean, like, that doesn't come through for you. You put your faith in other things, doesn't come through for you. And then when you, finally, she was mentioning, she goes, when you face Allah at the end of the night and you cry, your heart is weeping, your eyes are tearing up, that is when you realize this was the reason why I may have gone through this.
Ah, Allahu Akbar.
And, you know, subhanAllah, you're talking about the takeaways of what to do in terms of his legacy. I mean, subhanAllah, think about if everyone here, and then last night at your halaqah, and then even Monday night at Ustad's halaqah, imagine if 1,000+ people, from hearing about how, like, just contagious of a personality Hadi was, and everybody who's lost a person in here, you know, whatever who they were, imagine one more salah was prayed because of that legacy. One more week of Jum'ah was attended because of that legacy. One more Ramadan was, like, fully dedicated because of that legacy. And so, you know, subhanAllah, you guys, you know, I feel that's so powerful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I want to add to this,
please,
yo.
Yeah.
So check this. And I know we don't have a lot of time. I need y'all to be with me on this one, yo. I shared this last night, but I got to share it again. And I need to make it personal for us because this gathering is smaller. There was a group of companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were sitting around and they were talking about a person who passed away. And they were speaking good about him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by. He heard them and he said, wajabat. Wajabat in Arabic means, like, it's become compulsory, right? It's set, it's set. Someone else had passed away. And they mentioned him. They weren't backbiting, but they were mentioning that it wasn't the same. These two lives weren't the same. And the Prophet ﷺ heard it, and he's like, wajabat. The Sahaba were like, ya Rasulullah, this is weird. We've never heard you say this before. What are you saying? And he said, listen closely. Antum, y'all, shuhada'ullah, you are God's witnesses. You righteous people are God's witnesses. When you said he was a righteous person, your witness made Jannah wajib on this person. Like, Jannah was compulsory. They had Jannah. It was theirs. And when you witnessed to this person who wasn't there, he wasn't on it, he was harming us, he was doing wrong, da-da-da-da-da, then something else became necessary for that person. Here's my question to you, yo. And I need you to look inside in this moment. How do you want to be remembered? You gotta, don't go nowhere. Stick with it. I know you wanna, I know your mind wants to flee from this moment. Don't let it. Sit there. How do you want to be remembered? Next. What will you do tomorrow to start building that legacy for yourself? You don't have to be famous to be remembered. All they get is a little side thing on CNN that they pass and don't no one see it. The biggest people, CNN, side, such as died. Anyways, scroll. Being remembered does not mean you did something big that was Facebook, Instagram, Snap, whatever, worthy. Being remembered is the small things you did. How do you want to be remembered? Man, she was always helping out when I called her. Man, whenever I needed help and I called him, he always had time for me. Man, whenever we asked for donations, she was the first one to give, every time. Man, every time they messaged me, they told me, oh, don't forget about Halakha today. Man, she always stopped me from haram. That was my girl. How do you want to be remembered? That's what we need to learn in this moment. How do you want to be remembered? That's it. That's it. Now, decide that and just slowly start working towards that. Just every day, a little bit. Every day, a little bit. Man, every day. Let me tell you how small it could be. Every day, my man used to read Qul Hu Allahu Ahad after Maghrib. That's it. But every day. Every day, they used to do this dhikr. He told me he used to do a little dhikr, like subhanAllah, walhamdulillah. He used to say it 100 times, but he did it every day. It took like 2 minutes. But I asked him what he was doing. He was like, I do this, I have to. How do you want to be remembered? That's all I want to ask you. You don't got to build, you don't got to be Elon Musk. You don't got to change the world. You got to change your akhirah. You don't got to change the world. You got to change your akhirah. That's Hadi's legacy to me.
Inshallah. This is going to be, and again, like Sheikh mentioned, and this is going to be a process. It's going to be time. There's going to be a lot of different, you know, reflections over the next week, months, years. Give yourself time. Don't rush into things. The Prophet ﷺ never used to rush. He actually used to praise hilm, forbearance, right? Don't be hasty, right? Let time take its place and do its thing, inshallah. But try, like Sheikh mentioned, to think about it, right? وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّ. Think about the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and think and talk about it. And I'll end with this, inshallah. I'll let Sheikh do a dua at the end to kind of wrap us up. But, you know, one of the greatest ways, my mother who lost both of her parents, one of the things that she has taught me is you never stop talking about them. You know, anybody who's lost people in their lives, they'll tell you the best thing that they can do now is just smile and remember those days and those nights. Alhamdulillah. Remember that one time? Yeah. Remember that one time? Yeah. Remember that one time when they did this? Remember that one time when she said that to me? And it just cracks a smile in your face, and you may have realized you've never actually smiled for the past few weeks. And subhanAllah, what an amazing way to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, Ya Allah, this beautiful soul that you gave me to experience in my life made me smile long after they passed away, Ya Allah. You know, something beautiful, inshallah. Sheikh, I wanted you to end with a little dua, and then we'll, inshallah, break for Isha.
All right, let's all raise our hands to make a dua. Allahumma laka alhamdu kullu wa laka shukru kullu wa ilayki arjul amanu kullu ala ni tusiru. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Ya Allah, we ask you to accept our gathering here tonight, Ya Allah. Mm-hmm. Ya Allah, we ask you to accept this gathering and make it a means for our change, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Mm-hmm. Ya Allah, we ask you to have mercy on our brother Hadi, Ya Allah. Mm-hmm. We ask you to forgive his sins and elevate his status, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Mm-hmm. Ya Allah, we ask you to give us the ability to emulate the good that he did, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Mm-hmm. Ya Allah, we ask you to give us the ability to keep the good that he was doing in our lives and make it a legacy for him, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Mm-hmm. Ya Allah, his family, Ya Allah. We ask you to make it easy for them, Ya Allah. Amen. Ya Allah, they have lost their beloved brother. They have lost their beloved son in an unexpected instant, Ya Allah. We ask you, Ya Allah, make it easy for them, Amen. Ya Allah. Amen. Ya Allah, please make it easy for them, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Give them sabr in this moment, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, we ask you to make all of these gatherings the gatherings that we learn more about you and get closer to you, Ya Amen. Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you, never deprive us of this special company we are sitting in right now, Ya Allah. Amen. In the same way you have gathered us here, we ask you to gather us with these righteous people in Jannah, Ya Allah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun alal mursaleen.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Everybody, thank you so much for being here, inshallah. We're not going to delay any further. We're going to go walk over to the prayer hall for Isha, inshallah. And we'll see y'all, inshallah ta'ala, next Thursday. And also next Wednesday, Sheikh Mikhail's Halakha. We're going to go right through the week, inshallah. We'll see y'all then, okay? Assalamu alaikum.